chapter 11. It is good to have Brandon and Carrie with us today. Kind of icy over there in the parking lot of the church where Brother Brandon's pastoring, let alone the north side there, not able to get into the parking lot. And it was kind of icy on a lot of north sides this morning, wasn't it? It's good to see each and every one of you out this morning in the house of God.
Told me to say something, and I did. If I don't get up, I ain't going to be able to sit here. Last week, I was talking about being in the Christmas play, portraying Pilate, and how he gave in to the will of the people, and how it had bothered me ever since that Christmas play. It had been on my mind on and off, ever since that play, day in and day out. It had been on my mind about giving in to the will of the people. First time I thought of it was this morning when he told me to stand up and say, it ain't been there no more. That this church ain't going to give in to the will of the people. That we're going to follow God and we're going to do what God wants us to do. And this church is expanding for the lost. It ain't expanding for the people. It's expanding for the lost people so more lost people can come in here and hear the true word of God, because you're not going to give in to the will of people. Our pastor's not going to give in to the will of the people. He's going to continue to preach the word of God. And I want to thank you for that, because you do preach the word of God. Amen. And you don't back down. Amen. That you do have the backbone. I want to thank you for that, tell you I love you, and I love this church, but most of all, I love my Lord.
Amen.
Love you too.
You pray for us that we'll ever stay true to the word of God, to the call that God placed upon our life. Amen. You found John chapter 11, verse number 16. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. I want to read this one verse. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help us, Father, to give us power of the Holy Ghost, divine power, I pray, to stand and preach your word. We thank you for this great number of folks that have come this way today. And I pray, God, that you'd feed their souls. Lord, I cannot, but I know you can. And I pray, God, you'd touch them and strengthen them, Father, and help us to be obedient to your call. For we ask these favors in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We read that one verse about Thomas. Thomas made that statement. Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now this morning, I believe the Lord would have us think on this thought. The doubts of one named Thomas. The doubts of one named Thomas. Thomas, the Bible says, is called Didymus. The word in Hebrew and Thomas in Greek. Both words mean twin. That's what they mean. So basically, it must be one of twins, maybe, or maybe there's another one that's a twin to him. Sometimes I think I'm his twin. Because every time you see old Thomas, he's doubting, amen. Amazing how he had a twin, and I think it represents me. Might represent somebody else beside me here today, I don't know. But we want us to think about it, that his doubts were always disguised behind something, and you have to look behind it to understand. There is reasonable doubts that he has. And truthfully, this morning, you have doubts too. You doubt a lot of things, amen? And you'll disguise it and mask it behind things. But when it comes right down to the heart of it, where the rubber meets the highway, there is doubt. I want this morning to speak a little bit about that doubt. Now, in this situation, Jesus has just heard, or the runner has just come and told him that Lazarus is sick. Lazarus is going to die before Jesus gets there. And Jesus is going to wait 4 days before he comes to the place where they've laid Lazarus. Well, here's old Thomas, and they're trying to debate with Jesus about not going back into town. And Thomas makes this statement. He says, let us also go, that we may die with him. I want to say, number one, that sounds like devotion. Oh, I'm going to follow Jesus to the very grave. I'll go with him in all things. He's been good to me, and I'll go with him. Oh, to the Lord, I'll be true. That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? Let us go and die with him, is what Thomas is saying. But behind the scenes, I believe that those words aren't words of devotion. I believe they're words expressed of doubt. He knows that Jesus, in the last chapter, chapter 10, that they tried to stone him. And that Jesus somehow got away from them. And he knows that if they go back outside the city, right outside the city, they're waiting to stone Jesus and all of Jesus' disciples. And old Thomas says, well, let us also go with him that we may die with him. In other words, he's saying that Jesus has a death wish. That Jesus does not know what's awaiting him. And Thomas is saying, we're never going to make it. I remember when I was a kid, there used to be a cartoon on. And there's always this one guy in the cartoon. I won't name it. But when I speak this phrase, some of y'all may remember it. But he was always say, whatever they're getting ready to do, he would say, we'll never make it. That's what Thomas is trying to say. You know, just outside the city there, Jesus, they're waiting to kill you and us too. But if you really want to go do this thing, we'll never make it and we'll all just die together. That'll be just, if that's really what you want, that's what we'll do. We'll never make it. Am I the only one here that's ever had that thought in your mind? You know, it says, you know what? This'll never work. We'll never make it. This church is crazy trying to build. There ain't no way you'll ever do it. Let me tell you something, friends. Hey, if we have a Lord Jesus Christ as our captain, he's leading us and guiding us, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay, amen. We don't need to express words of doubt. We need to express words of hope, words of joy, words of comfort's what we need to be speaking, rather than running around speaking words of doubt. And every time you see old Thomas, he's doubting what's going on. He's always concerned. Now I want you to look in John chapter 14. We saw him here in John 11 with his supposed words of devotion. But I want you to see, next of all, his supposed words of determination. John chapter 14. Never saw it till I saw it this week, just like this. Jesus said, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now we could stop right there and say, there's a message in that. If it were not so, Jesus would have told us. Everything he said is the truth and nothing but the truth. Amen. Nothing less than the truth. Amen. Everything he's told us is right. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? That sounds like words of determination. In other words, Lord, I ain't going to miss this. You promised heaven. You promised. I'm determined I'm going to get it right. I'm determined I'm going to do what it takes to serve you. I'm telling you what, you and I'd be doing real well to be determined to stick true to the cause of Jesus Christ. And his words sounds like words of determination, saying, Lord, show me again. I don't want to miss it. But the next phrase here, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't think that Thomas's words were words of determination. Words of, I'm not going to miss it. I believe again in his words expressed of doubt. Preacher, what do you mean? Jesus is speaking about heaven. And Thomas has heard Jesus speak about heaven. He said that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Old Thomas is sitting here thinking, boy, these things are too good to be true. Have you ever thought that? Boy, this sounds too good to be true. And all I need to do is believe Jesus and I can have heaven. Boy, I tell you what, that sounds too good to be true. But Jesus, I heard what you said. I can see him thinking. I heard what you said. You said, if I go, why are you leaving us? I mean, if you're going away, you say you're going to come back. You won't remember me. No, you'll forget all about me. I'm telling you, Jesus, I've been one of your disciples. I've tried to be true, but you know the truth about me. You know what a doubter I really am. And I know good and well that as soon as you go away, you'll forget all about me. Now, am I the only one that thinks that way? The Lord don't know where I am. He don't know how bad I need Him. He don't know how bad my situation is in this hour. That's what the devil tries to put in your mind. That's what the flesh tries to tell you. Well, what if you're not right? What if He's not really coming back? What if He's really not God? What if He's just a counterfeit? What if He's just an imposter? Let me tell you what. There ain't no what if according to Jesus. Amen. He is, my friend, sure, and He is certain, and He is the Son of God. And I believe that with all my heart. And somebody may say, well, what if you're wrong? Well, what if I am? Then I'm going to go to the same hell you are if I'm wrong. We're going to go to the same hell. At least I'll go there trusting the blood. And I don't believe nobody's going to end up in hell trusting the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. At least I've got something to trust in. At least I've got something to hope in. And that's Jesus. Oh, Thomas's words are words expressed of doubt, saying, well, I don't believe it. You promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. But you'll forget about who I even am. Friend, I will tell you what. The Lord, His eyes are upon you. He knows just exactly your situation. He knows just exactly the needs of your body. He knows just exactly the needs of your family. He knows just exactly the needs you have for a job, the needs you have financially, the needs you have for eternity. He has provided the way, and my friend, He'll be all to all if you allow Him to. I'm telling you, these words of doubt that Thomas are expressing, Jesus, He rebukes his doubts. Do you see it? I see it in three questions. Now notice, Thomas is asking the question. Read it again. Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? He was questioning the Lord. Lord, how are we going to know it's You? Well, He's going to answer, I believe, that question with three questions. Number one, how can I be saved? Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. Imagine, if you will, you've seen some of these big mazes. They let these hedges grow up and they turn them into a maze and they let people go in there and people get real turned out. They've stood there with overhead cameras and shown how turned around people get. And actually people just sit down on the ground and begin to weep and cry because they can't get outside of that maze that they're in. And finally they'll send somebody in there and they'll say, hey, what's wrong? And they'll say, I'm lost. I can't find the exit. I don't know how to get out. And what he'll do is he'll pick that person up and take them right out to safety. What was it that caused them to be saved? Somebody knew the way through the maze. Somebody knew the way. Hey, Jesus is the way. He don't just know the way. He is the way. Amen. That person inside the maze has to come to a point that says, I can't do this on my own. I can't find my way out. Friend, you have to humble yourself and admit to Him, I'm a sinner and I can't find my way to safety. I cannot save myself. But I'm going to look to One who can. I'm going to look to One who is the great I am. I am the way. How can you be saved? Jesus is the way. I was preaching over at the funeral the other day in the graveyard there, the Penley funeral. And there's folks gathered all around there in the cemetery, and you can see tombstones and monuments. And I stood there and I told that crowd, I said, Jesus is the way. Now hear me. The way to this graveyard, you could have come here many different ways. I could come from one street or another street. There's three or four different ways to arrive there at that cemetery. And my friend, if you want to end up in the cemetery, well, you could have died by heart attack or by stroke, got run over by a car, you could have been shot, you could have been hung, you could have been electrocuted. There's a lot of different ways to come to the graveyard. Am I right? We all don't always die the same way, amen. But we'll all end up in the same place, and we're all on our way there. That's to the graveyard. Many different ways to come there. But there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Why? Because He's the way. He's the only way to the gates of glory. He's the only way to the name on the Lamb's book of life. He's the only way, my friend, to your mansion so fair. He's the only way that you're going to be able to worship Him for eternity. How can you be saved? Jesus said, I am the way. Well, preacher, how can I be sure? Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the truth. Now, I don't know about you. It seems like some folks get dogmatic about things, and I'm not necessarily a dogmatic person. But when it comes to the truth is always dogmatic. It's always narrow and it's always right. When I went to first grade, my first grade teacher told me 1 + 1 = 2. I have always found that out to be true. It's very narrow and there's no exceptions to that rule of thumb. Amen?
Amen.
When Jesus said He's the truth, hear me, there's no other way you're going to get to heaven.
Right.
You may say, I'm going to go by Buddha. I'm going to go by Muhammad. I'm going to go by Confucius. Let me tell you what. All of them boys, their bones are in a graveyard, just like mine are going to be graveyard dead one of these days. But hear me, if they didn't come by Jesus Christ, who is not only the way, but He is the truth, they never entered into heaven. They never made it into heaven. And I'm glad we have one that we, my friends, know is the truth. Now you may pick up the newspaper, it might or might not be right. In fact, the newspaper does report a lot of bad things. And it does slander and present gossip and rumors. And God forbid you pick up some of them magazines at the Walmart there as you go out. Lord have mercy, what preposterous things you'll read there. But you'll pick it up saying, oh, I want to know. Oh, I want to know what's really going on. Let me tell you what. You've got all you need to know laying in your lap right now. That is the Word of God. He is the truth. He is something solid. In fact, I dare say some of our very courtrooms in the United States of America is no longer standing for the truth. I mean, they're bought off with bribes and payments, and they stand to the left of the truth, amen. Our nation nowadays, we've allowed all kinds of gambling and casinos and abortions and all this stuff and homosexual marriages. God help, that ain't the truth. And our courtrooms back that stuff. Hey, the only thing that'll stand the test of time is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God. I am the way and the truth. How can I be sure? Because He's truth. Let all men be a liar, but let God be true, is what the Word of God says. How can I be saved? I'm the way. How can I be sure? I'm the truth. Or how can I be satisfied? I am the life, says Jesus. Let me tell you what. You know what Solomon sought out? He sought out life. He said, all's vanity. Vanity of vanities. He was seeking out life. Let me tell you what. Life outside of Jesus Christ is short. Life outside of Jesus Christ is worthless.
Yes.
But my friend, if you have Jesus, you'll find out He's not only the life, but as He said to Martha there and to Mary, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm telling you what, if you want to have life, resurrecting power. If you want to have life eternal, you can have it in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think I was standing right about right here a few weeks ago when I asked if some of you, if you knew there was a fountain of youth that would give you longer days on this earth, and you could run down there and drink some chemical water, or you could do some special ointment put on your face. Many of you nodded your head and said, boy, I'd like to do that. I wouldn't get any older. I'd just get younger. I'd be wiser. Things would be different. Let me tell you what, friend. There ain't no miracle potion. There ain't no chemical water. There ain't no minerals that's going to extend your time. You know what will? Jesus. He is the life. Here old Thomas was trying to say, well, I'm determined. I'm going to get to heaven, but He'll forget me. He'll forsake me. He don't even know how bad I need to get there. How bad I want to go. But how can I trust Him? How can I trust Him? Jesus said, because I'm the way. I'm the only way you're going to get there. Because I'm the truth. Hey, if it were not so, I would have told you. And He says, Thomas, hey buddy, I'm the life. Hey, you're not going to have life outside of me, says Jesus. There old Thomas is. He was devoted? Nope, words of doubt. He was determined to go to heaven? Words of doubt. Friend, I want you to read one more thing about Mr. Thomas. Over here in the book of John, chapter number 20. And we'll try to close. John chapter 20. I want to read verse number 25. Old Thomas, he looks determined. Thomas looks devoted. But underneath, we see all kinds of shades of doubt. Kind of reminds me of myself. Oh yeah, I doubt myself. But friend, we ought not to be doubting Him. Now look with me in verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto Him, speaking unto Thomas, we've seen the Lord. But He said, except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. Now it looks like Thomas is dedicated. He is in a quest for truth. And he says, unless I see it myself, I'm not going to believe. He said, I believe that this statement's true. If you're not an eyewitness, you're probably a false witness. And you boys say you've seen the Lord, well, I ain't believing what you say. I'm telling you what, I've got to see it myself or it ain't no good. If I don't shout, nobody else can shout.
Right.
If I don't pray, nobody else can pray. If it don't happen at my church, it can't happen nowhere else. Boy, I've been around crowds like that, you know. I'm telling you what, I come from a place like that. I'm telling you, I went somewhere else and got saved and come back there and people turned their nose up to me because they thought, well, why didn't you get saved here? Let me tell y'all something. God's God everywhere. He's not just God here at Bethel. He's God down the road and God up the road, amen. And we ought not to be jealous or sitting here saying that we have a monopoly on God. God is God. And He's God in this house. He's God in my heart. He's God in your heart, I'm praying. And He's God up the road and God down the road. A lot of people don't even think it's a good rabbit hunt if they ain't the first one to bark. I want to tell you what, friend. Old Thomas was saying, if I don't see it myself. Now, he looks like he's dedicated to the cause. But let's read something about him. Verse 24. But Thomas, this is after Jesus had appeared to him. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus. There he is again. The twin. Thomas, the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Oh, he looks real dedicated now, don't he? Oh, I'm dedicated. Oh, I'm devoted. Oh, I'm determined. And when the Lord come on that Sunday night, he was at the house. He wasn't in the Lord's house. I wonder what his excuse was. Well, I need to get to Walmart. The sale was running out on leaf blowers, and I need to get up there. I hadn't got to go grocery shopping all week, so I think I'll just go up here and do this. I wonder what his excuse was. Well, the Lord's gone now. Listen, he was not as dedicated, as devoted, as determined as he appears to be. I really think he stayed home because he doubted. He doubted. Said, Lord ain't going to come back. I know he said after 3 days I'll raise this temple back again. I don't believe that. Ain't no way. Now these boys are telling me they've seen the Lord. Well, I wasn't here. I wasn't part of it, so I ain't going to believe it. They say down there at Bethel they're going to try to build a new church. Well, I'll just sit out and I'll show them. I'll sit at the house. And I'll sit on my money, and I won't give a dime to the program. I won't vote for it. I'm going to vote against everything. And I'm going to cross my arms and hold my breath, and they ain't going to do nothing. You go right ahead. But I found out God's bigger than a steamroller. And you're not going to stand on the railroad tracks with a train coming down the track and say, hey, I protest. No, you're not really a train. I don't believe you're a train. You sound like a train. You look like a train. The tracks are shaking, but I'm standing here to stop you. Splat. You're not over. Let me tell you something, friend. Your doubt's got to be squashed out of you. My friends, I want to tell you what, old Thomas here, he's doubting the Lord Jesus Christ ever even showed his face. And he's wanting to examine it a little closer. And I want you to see in verse 26. And after 8 days, eight more days, he's still in protest. He's still in doubt. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. I wonder if they shut the doors. Maybe even locked the doors. But Jesus just walked right through. Well, imagine that this morning. If Jesus he just walked right through that door. He's already done that today.
Amen.
He's already done that today. What do you mean, preacher? He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. I'm going to tell you what, you may look like you're real spiritual today, but I didn't see nobody at the back door holding the door open for Jesus. He's just come on in to be with his people today. Amen. Hallelujah for that. And the doors were shut. The Bible says, and he stood in the midst, and he said unto him, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, why'd he pick out Thomas? He wasn't physically there when Thomas said, except I see the the print of the nails, and unless I see the where he was wounded, Jesus wasn't present. How'd he know to talk to just to Thomas? Because he's omnipresent and he's omniscient. He's everywhere and he knows all things. He says, reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand. Thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I didn't see where he touched that place. I can't see where he said, let me see if you're real or not. He reached down and touched him. I'm telling you what, when he saw him, he fell down right there and he said, my Lord and my God. I'm telling you what, if he was to show himself around here, I couldn't handle it. I'd probably just fall over dead. I couldn't handle it. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Hey, some people say, well, I tell you what, I don't believe they're going to build a church down there till I see it. Well, let me tell you something, friend. If God places a call on us to do it, and we surrender to His call, the God that brings you to it will be the God that brings you through it. Not only about this building program, but I want to say something. There's some sickness, some need, some concern in your life. The devil's already said, God's forgot about you. You've been too wicked. You're too corrupt. In fact, you begin to doubt a lot of things in your life. God sees you as the very apple of His eye. He knows and is concerned for your very situation. I do not know why it is in your life what it is today. But God knows. Would you do me the honor of turning back here to the book of Mark? Very quickly. I just want to read a couple of verses. Just back to back to back. Mark chapter 6, verse number 5. Jesus has come into His own land. And He's there teaching amongst His own people. And my Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse number 5, He could there do no mighty work, save that He laid His hands upon a few sick folk and healed them, and He marveled because of their unbelief. You know what doubts are? Unbelief. And He could not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Well, I'm telling you what, I pray that God would rebuke the doubts in my mind, the doubts that I have. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you. There's times that we doubt things. Mark chapter number 9. Turn there with me quickly. Here's a man whose son has demons inside him. Verse 23 of this chapter. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Hey, can I stop just short right here of reading this next verse and put my little hand up in front of your face and say, what does all things mean to you? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That means put the doubts aside. Quit the question marks. Quit having to know what's on the other side of the door and just say, you know what, God? I'm going to trust you for that. We always have to know what's out here. If I knew what was out there, I'd knew whether I should go out or whether I should come in. And I'm telling you what, we just need to learn to trust God. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, because he knew Jesus knew his heart, Lord, I believe. Look here, semicolon. Help thou mine unbelief. He said, Lord, I believe you. Or at least I want to. Extra bad. But Lord, where I have question marks, where I have doubts, where I have fears, remove them from me. Help mine unbelief. I'm telling you what, it'd do good for every one of us this morning just to be honest with God and say, Lord, there's been times I've been, I'm saved, but I've had unbelief. I'm saved, but I've had doubts. I'm saved, but I've not trusted you the way I ought to. I've not trusted you the way I should. And Lord, today you've got my attention. One more verse. Over here in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you shall receive, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. How many times have you, right here, you've anchored, knowing you had doubt, knowing you've had fear, run to the altar and prayed about it, and got up saying, boy, I sure hope that helped. What do you mean you sure hope it helped? Right there's a doubt statement in itself. You should say, Lord, I know that helped me right there. I believe that helped me right there. I'm telling you what, y'all. Old Thomas's doubts were dispelled, weren't they, when Jesus appeared. He said, hey, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are they that have believed without seeing. I'm telling you what, y'all, we don't need to know everything. Let's just go ahead and say, we don't need to know everything. Lord, I just want to believe you. Thomas had a twin. I believe he was me. Thomas needs prayer. So does his twin. You stand with me today. That's the message God laid on my heart. If our musicians would come and play softly what the Lord lays upon your heart. Might be somebody here saying, Lord, I believe you. But help mine unbelief. Your head's bowed. Nobody's looking. As they begin to play this morning, I wonder if it's somebody besides myself need to be in this altar and say, Lord, I want you to help my unbelief. I know you can do all things. I've prayed about this and prayed about that. But I seem to have unbelief about things. I seem to be uncertain and so worrisome and so fretting. I don't want to do that. I won't be like that old father there said, Lord, help mine unbelief. I know if I believe that all things are possible, Lord, I want to believe you. Lord, I want to trust you. Would you help me today to do so? I'm asking you, would you come this altar, bend your knee, yield your heart, your life to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to trust you. Help me to do so. Enable me to do so. I submit myself today, yielding myself. Your help. Oh Lord, I need your touch. God, as this morning we bow.